As you probably can see, those of you who can see, I've got Jackie
Hi.
helping me this morning, but it's lovely to be with you all on this sixth Sunday after Trinity. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.
Amen.
O Lord, open our lips and our mouths
Amen.
for voice of praise. Let your ways be known upon earth, your saving power among the nations, and a song of creation. Bless the Lord, you heavens. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, you angels of the Lord. Sing
Sing his
his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, all people on earth. Sing
Sing
his
his
praise
praise
and
and
exalt
exalt
him
him
forever.
forever.
O people of God, bless the Lord. Sing
Sing
his
his
praise
praise
and
and
exalt
exalt
him
him forever.
forever. Bless the Lord, you priests of the Lord. Sing
Sing
his
his
praise
praise
and
and
exalt
exalt
him
him
forever.
forever.
Bless the Lord, all you of upright spirit. Bless the Lord, you that are holy and humble in heart. Bless
Bless
the
the
Father,
Father,
the
the
Son,
Son,
and
and
the
the
Holy
Holy
Spirit.
Spirit.
Sing
Sing
his
his
praise
praise
and
and
exalt
exalt
him
him
forever.
forever.
The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. And the first reading is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 5. David becomes king over Israel. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler.' When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. David then took up residence in the fortress and called it the City of David. He built up the area around it from the terraces inward, and he became more and more powerful because the Lord God Almighty was with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our
Amen.
psalm this morning is Psalm 48, and we begin by saying the refrain together. We have waited on
On
your
your
loving
loving kindness,
kindness, O
O
God.
God.
Great is the Lord and highly to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain is fair and lifted high, the joy of all the earth. On Mount Zion, the divine dwelling place, stands the city of the great King. In her palaces, God has shown himself to be a sure refuge. We
We
have
have
waited
waited
on
on
your
your
loving
loving kindness,
kindness, O
O God.
God. For behold, the kings of the earth assembled and swept forward together. They saw and were dumbfounded. Dismayed, they fled in terror. Trembling seized them there. They writhed like a woman in labor, as when the east wind shatters the ships of Tarshish. As we had heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, the city of our God. God has established her forever. We have
Have
waited
waited
on
on
your
your
loving
loving
kindness,
kindness,
O
O God.
God. We have waited on your loving kindness, O God. In the midst of your temple, as with your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of justice. Let Mount Zion rejoice and the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments, O Lord. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Count all her towers. Consider well her bulwarks, pass through her citadels, that you may tell those who come after that such is our God forever and ever. It is he that shall be our guide forevermore. We
You
have
have waited
waited on
on
your
your
loving
loving kindness,
kindness, O
O God.
God. Father of lights, raise us with Christ to your eternal city, that with kings and nations we may wait in the midst of your temple and see your glory forever and ever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as
As
it
it was
was
in
in
the
the beginning,
beginning,
is
is now,
now, and
and
shall
shall
be
be
forever.
forever.
Amen.
Amen. And the second reading is taken from Mark chapter 6. Jesus left Capernaum and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home." He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions: take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake off the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be
Be
to
to God.
God. So, what do we expect a leader to look like? By now, we know what our leader looks like, but is he what we expected? Our expectations are often formed by our culture and our personal history. We make assumptions about people and form judgments. We all have unconscious bias. And many organisations, including the Church of England, recognise its existence. There are training courses to help us be aware of our own unconscious assumptions about others. I know I've been on one, and I was shocked by some of my own reactions to some of the points raised by the course. If we look around our world, we see that it is sometimes the leaders we don't expect who shake things up. The many young climate activists are a case in point. These young people challenge the complacency and inaction of governments and refuse to be intimidated or silenced. King David knew of God's calling on his life when he was only a young boy. Dismissed by his own family as having any relevance. He was, after all, just a shepherd boy. Yet, despite his personal failings, David was regarded as the model king of Israel. In today's reading, we see him fulfill his God-given destiny as he is anointed and makes the city of Jerusalem his own. As a young lad, he did not seem a very promising king, but God saw beyond the external appearances to his heart. In today's gospel reading, we see Jesus visiting his hometown of Nazareth and teaching in the synagogue. But his hearers remember him when he was a boy, the child of Mary, the carpenter's son, and reject his teaching. By describing Jesus as the son of Mary, they are highlighting that no one knew for sure who his father was. In other words, it's a calculated act on the part of Jesus' neighbors to weaponize Jesus's birth story and to shut him up and humiliate him. They cannot see beyond their own unconscious bias about what a leader and a teacher should look like. David was anointed to be king three times. He was anointed by the prophet Samuel as a young boy, and later he was anointed king by a decision of some of the people, and thirdly, after years of turbulence and internal strife between Israel's tribes and the remainder of King Saul's family by all the people. The rebellious tribes had had no option other than to turn to David and begin negotiations. It was humbling for them. They had to acknowledge that David was kingfolk. In chapter 5, verse 1, we hear them say, "We are your bones and flesh." They had to publicly declare David's achievements. "Even when Saul was our king," they said, "you were the one who led Israel in battle." And most importantly, they had to accept that David was Yahweh, the Lord's choice as king. "Yahweh said to you, 'It is you who shall be shepherd of my people Israel, you who shall be ruler over Israel.'" In ancient times, shepherd was another word for king or ruler. When we say, "The Lord is my shepherd," as in Psalm 23, we are saying that the Lord is our ruler, our king. And it is the Lord, the ruler, the king, who is making David the king over his people. When someone is proclaimed king, it is immediately followed by the acclamation of the people. I am sure, like you, I remember some of the extraordinary scenes when Charles was proclaimed king. So being proclaimed king is one thing, but it requires acclamation by the people. And then it also demands promises. David made promises, a covenant with his people, just as the Lord had made a covenant with David. As David reminded the people just before his death, "The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His words are upon my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, 'The one who rules righteously, who rules in the fear of God, is like the light of morning at sunrise, like a morning without clouds, like the gleaming of the sun on new grass after the rain. Is it not my family God has chosen? Yes, he has made an everlasting covenant with me. His agreement is arranged and guaranteed in every detail. He will ensure my safety and my success." We're not told in the Bible what obligations this covenant involved, but it would have likely included judging the people with righteousness and the poor with justice, or defending the cause of the poor and giving deliverance to the needy. David also would be responsible for the people's economic well-being. These promises were made with Yahweh, the Lord, as a witness. What an amazing commitment for a leader to make. What powerful words to speak. What challenging promises to put into action. Well, I'm sure we've all heard plenty of grand words in the last few weeks, and in some ways they are very easy to say. And nowadays they can reach a huge audience very, very quickly. But it's action we want. It's truth and integrity we want from our leaders. Servanthood, justice and mercy. and its truth and integrity God wants from us, his people. As the prophet Micah wrote, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." After that, it was the people's turn to act in this ritual, and they were represented by the traditional leaders of the communities. They anointed David king over all of Israel. The Bible nowhere explains the exact significance of anointing and whether it is priests or kings who are anointed. Some customs in neighboring countries suggested that anointing was itself an act of covenant making. The people too were expressing their loyalty, acknowledging David as king, and thereby agreeing to their responsibilities, such as paying taxes, working on projects, and military service. This was a three-way commitment: David making a commitment to his people, and the people making a commitment back to their king. But first of all, and most importantly, David makes a commitment to God, to Yahweh, because God has made commitments to him. David ruled for 40 years altogether, 7.5 in Hebron and 33 in Jerusalem. In verses 6 to 8, David captured Jerusalem, which previously had remained the city of the Jebusites. Located outside the tribal territories, much like Washington, D.C., Jerusalem was literally the city of David. It was a wise choice. The choice of Jerusalem as capital did not favor one tribe over another. According to verse 10, David went from strength to strength. But what did that mean? Strength to strength in the polls, in military victories, in moral and ethical conduct? Well, yes and no. The writer probes for a deeper analysis. This was because Yahweh, the God of the heavenly armies, was with David. This literal translation boldly expresses the power of David's God. The short sentence, "I am with you," is at the heart of the good news in the Bible. Moses thought up five excuses recorded in Exodus about why he should not be the leader. Then God says, "I will be with you," or "I will be with your mouth." When Moses had tried the lame excuse that he did not ha know how to talk, he was told that God would be with him. Later on, Jeremiah the prophet had argued that he was only a teenager and therefore could not be a prophet. And God countered, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you to deliver you." In Matthew's description of the significance of Jesus, he drew on the old word in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "They shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. God is with you. And the last word of Jesus in the gospel is, "And remember, I am with you to the end of the age." Why is "I am with you" so important? It means that David and all of us later who are children of God are never alone. However sinful and however lacking in confidence we might be, God is not ashamed to hang around with David or Bathsheba or us. There is an implicit word of forgiveness in this simple sentence, "I am with you." "I am with you" is a phrase of empowerment. Whether it is the ability to trust, to carry out our day-to-day occupations, or to face all the challenges of life, including our own mortality, God's "I am with you" means that we have the promise of strength and encouragement to do what we have to do. And how do we know that God is with us? Well, it starts with our naming at our baptism. When we take the child, or I take the child in my arms, I say that they have been marked with the cross of Christ and they are his forever. It is Jesus Christ's real presence when we share bread and wine together that says to us in ways that we can taste, touch, and smell. Communion is God saying, I am with you. And it is by sharing our journey of faith together, encouraging one another, loving one another, forgiving one another, laughing and crying together, that we know that God is with us. God is with us this morning as his church. And I think it's worth taking a moment to appreciate the wonder and the beauty of the lectionary readings for today, giving us the reading where David is made king the Sunday immediately following a general election, which was called unexpectedly 6 weeks ago. God knew when the election would be called and who would win the election from before the creation of the world. Rishi Sunak may have thought he was calling a surprise election when he announced it in the rain on the 22nd of May, but our God is in control and knows all things. He is with us. When a new king arose after Saul, there was the excitement we all feel at the beginning of a new administration, the excitement of our first job, our first love, or each new day. But this excitement is not born just from newness or from refreshment after sleep. It is the excitement that in this new day, or in whatever new venture that may be ahead of us, God is with us. Those words, God is with me, those words alone were enough for King David. And therefore, I think they are also enough for us. God is with us. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. God of truth, on this day when we are reflecting on leadership, we pray for those newly elected to Parliament and for our new Prime Minister, Keir Starmer. May he and all who will serve as MPs use their strengths well, be mindful of their weaknesses, and be blessed with the gifts of courage, wisdom, and integrity for
For
the
the good
good
of
of
all.
all. We pray for all leaders in our churches and communities, for the leaders in industry, and for leaders in countries around the world, particularly where the acquisition of power has corrupted and the pursuit of more power has led to injustice, suppression, and war. May all who lead and all in power be held accountable for their actions and be blessed with the gifts of humility, empathy, and truthfulness for the good of all. We ask this in the name of Jesus, servant, shepherd, king, who died and rose again
For
for
the
the
good
good
of
of
all.
all.
Amen.
Amen. We pray for the people of Union Island, left with so little after the devastation of Hurricane Beryl. We pray for the leaders of neighbouring islands as they organise supplies and support. We pray for all those impacted by extreme weather and for the leaders of all nations to unite and invest in the future of our planet and for one another as we seek to live more sustainably
For
for
the
the
good
good
of
of
all.
all. We pray for those facing storms in their personal lives, those who have been devastated by sudden tragedy by the actions of others, and those who regret their own actions and the impact they have had on those around them. For those whose long-term situations have left them with little energy and little hope, Lord Jesus, lead and guide them and us by your Spirit for
For
the
the good
good
of
of
all.
all. We pray for ourselves and one another. We pray for those on our hearts and minds, thinking of those who are sick. Jack, Olivia, Rosemary, Mary D, Mary B, John, Alex, Maya, Hilary, Frank, Penny, Jenny, Chris, Mary H, Connie, Mary C, Derek, and Anne. And we also pray for the family and friends of those who have died recently. Iris Wotton, Joy Fields, and Dennis Rabjohns. For those who have shaped our lives and guided us, and for those we have the joy and privilege of being alongside, bless each of us with compassion, openness, and discernment for
For
the
the good
good
of
of
all.
all.
Amen.
Amen. And a collect for today. Merciful God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as pass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray together.
Our
Father,
Father,
who
who
art
art
in
in
heaven,
heaven,
hallowed
hallowed be
be
thy
thy
name.
name. Thy
Thy
kingdom
kingdom come,
come,
thy
thy
will
will
be
be done
done
on
on
earth
earth
as
as
it
it
is
is
in
in
heaven.
heaven.
Give
Give
us
us
this
this
day
day
our
our
daily
daily
bread,
bread,
and
and
forgive
forgive
us
us
our
our
trespasses,
trespasses,
as
as we
we
forgive
forgive
those
those
who
who
trespass
trespass
against
against
us.
us.
And
And
lead
lead
us
us
not
not
into
into
temptation,
temptation,
but
but
deliver
deliver
us
us
from
from
evil.
evil.
For
For
thine
thine
is
is
the
the kingdom,
kingdom,
the
the power,
power,
and
and
the
the
glory,
glory, forever
forever
and
and ever.
ever.
Amen.
Amen.
The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. And the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of
And the
God
blessing of
Almighty,
God Almighty,
the Father, the
the
Son,
Father,
and the
the
Holy
Son, and
Spirit,
the Holy Spirit,
be amongst us
be
and
amongst
remain
us
with
and
us,
remain with us,
and those whom
and
we love
those whom
and
we love
pray
and
for,
pray for,
today and
today and
always.
always.
Amen.
Amen.
I heard my own voice at the
My own voice
end. Where's she
where is
coming
she
from?
coming from?
I don't know how that happened. Anyway, me and my shadow. Hey, there's always summit. Right, have a good day, everybody. And I will
I
see
will
you
see
next
you
week,
next
hopefully,
week,
without
without the
the
delay.
delay. I don't think
Thank you so
my
much.
shadow
Thank
is
you so much. Take care.
Take care.
Anyway,
Anyway, lots of love.
have a good week.
Good week.
Good
Yeah.
week. God
Hi,
bless.
everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye,
Bye,
everybody.
everybody.